You are the man now. Dog, 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 you are the man now. Dog.
Shalom. Aloha. And welcome to the Man Dog Pod. It's the improv and conversation podcast that you may be listening to for free. If that's the case, you can also find it at patreon.com/you'retheman now dog, where we have full versions of every episode with extended scenes, deleted scenes sometimes, full video of all the episodes, and weekly two-man episodes that we don't release for free that are just Ryan Rosenberg and I. That's the intro. It's October 15th, the Ides of October. Everybody is as scared as you could possibly be. And I am here in person. Another reason to get the video is because you can see us all in person with my wonderful guest to my right, Ronnie Adrian. Hello, Ronnie.
Hello. Aloha, like you said. We are out here in sunny Hawaii. And if you got the video, you could clearly see the backdrop feels that way. So, yeah.
Yeah, we all traveled to Hawaii. The governor said, don't come. And we said, fuck it. And we are in Hawaii doing our live improv podcast. Over here, we have Ali Gondour. Hi, Ali.
Hey, guys. A little tired from learning to surf earlier, but excited. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And, of course, to my left, as always, Ryan Rosenberg. Hi, Ryan.
Mahalo, everyone, for joining us here. I am Ryan Rosenberg. And it's just, it's great to be coming at you from the Big Island.
Ryan Rosenberg is out today. Our diligent listeners will know that he recently got his septum worked on.
His schnoz tinkered.
Removed. He got his septum removed. He got his schnoz tinkered. So you'll hear him back on a little more nasally, a little blur up here because he doesn't have a nose anymore. But he's in recovery right now with that. And so my lovely guests were not only so kind as to receive a text and say, I'll do an episode on the day that I sent the text, but also to be willing to come over and record it because I was so happy it was fall. It's so nice out. I wanted to see
you guys. It's so nice out. But you did lure us into that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I will say I was totally... how do you feel when somebody sends you a text that's like absolutely no pressure? Because I really put it on people. I say I'm very honest. Like, this is what I want, but I won't be mad if you say no for an in-person.
Hold on. Before we answer that, did you even say her name? Oh,
it's Ryan Rosenberg.
R-Y-A-N-N-E.
Yes. Ryan. Hillary Ann Matthews, thank you so much for being here. I'm sorry I neglected to name you.
Wow. Ronnie, honestly, like, that, I didn't even catch that. So, yeah. Like... Ronnie is a true friend, and I've never said this about Ronnie before. He's a true friend.
Wow, Ronnie finally earned it.
I noticed it, but I was like stoked.
I do wish you had waited till the very end.
Yeah. Well, I just know people are sitting there being like, "But who is the, like?" They don't read any of the captions. Any of the, like, who is the other person? Who is that person impersonating Ryan? Who is that? This is gonna bug me the whole episode.
Doing like. Taking a picture on your phone and then putting it into Google Photos to see if the face comes up.
God, they're like, this woman is missing. She's been missing for 6 years.
Thanks for being here, Hillary. I'm sorry.
Of course.
But when I said that, did you feel a pressure to say, yes, I'm okay doing it in person, even though you didn't want to?
I want to. I think for me what happens is, like, if I had felt no, I would have said no. I think it's, like, the introduction of effort having to be made. And right. It's like, oh, God, okay, so now I'm faced with the decision of having to make effort for such a nice payoff.
Sure.
But the effort is a deterrent
to
me.
It is a deterrent. Me too. I wouldn't have offered it to just any group of people. I felt like the effort would be a payoff today.
And I think I know what you mean, the zero pressure thing. There's a percentage of people who you can trust that it's like, I can actually say no to this and it's not going to be a problem, you know? Yeah. And then other folks, I think you're kind of like, you say no pressure, but I know what you're going to be kind of hurt about it.
Right.
Or, you know, yeah, I understand that too.
Yeah, my feelings wouldn't have been hurt.
Yeah, for me, it is like, I could do it. And if everybody else wants to do it, then that's fine. It's not because it's not like I was opposed to doing it. But if everybody said, no, let's not, I would have also been like, great, then I don't have to move. Like, I always say this, because I say this the same thing about dates, which is like, if I have an idea of a date to do, I will say it. Like, it's like, oh, we should do this. But if I don't, then I'm not pitching anything. So it's not necessarily saying that I don't want to hang out and that I wouldn't be open to do anything. Mm. But it's just that I'm not, I only think about the stuff when I have an idea and plan. I'm not going to just sit out there and be like, well, I got to just think of something.
But Ronnie, what if the person that you're going on a date with has that exact same mentality and neither of you guys have an idea, then what happens?
Then we can just hang out.
But even that has to... that.
So you're not saying you wouldn't pitch a hang. You're just saying you wouldn't pitch a specific thing to do.
Like, I think that sometimes in the past, that has been like a thing where like, then, it, you know, like... it feels like, oh, are you just not interested or whatever? And it's more so the notion of being like, no, it's not that. It's just like when I want to do something, it's like what Hillary just said, where it's being like, I can say no easily. Like if I have a real gut, like no, then I'll say no. But if it's like, I would do it I don't have any inclination to say no. It's like, I would do this and probably enjoy it once I got over the feeling of being like, well, I have to do something. But it is like, but if it's nothing in my mind, it's like there's nothing worse than me having to sit here and try to figure something out when I don't feel it.
Yeah, you're not going to try and be inspired. You're going to like let inspiration hit, but you're not going to wait around, or you're not going to like intentionally go, all right, let's come up with a good thing.
Right.
Yeah. I get that.
That's how at a younger age I would end up pitching a bunch of things that I didn't like doing because I thought someone wanted to.
Like what?
I took a woman on a date once to like, Worst Cooch. You guys know that place?
Yes.
When I was like 26 or 27.
Wait, sorry, it's called Worst Cooch? Were you trying to send her a specific message? Devastating.
Yeah, well, I mean...
You break up at Worst Cooch. Well, notice I didn't take you to Best Cooch.
there were no reservations at Sloppy Tits. So.
Ah, okay.
Awful. I don't know that place.
It's I think it's German, and I think it's pronounced like Wurstkuch or something like that. But it's a sausage place in downtown LA. There might be multiple ones.
It translates to worst breasts.
But it's like, you know, it's like they have like general sausage and like a bunch of different flavored ketchups and mustards, but also you can get like rattlesnake sausage and alligator sausage. So it was like, when I was going to college in LA in like 2009, it was an early like cool place to go.
Yeah,
a little hip. You would tell people like, "Have you tried the rabbit? Have you tried the rattlesnake?" And it's like, "Who cares?" but I remember I went there, and I remember she specifically was like, "You shouldn't take women on dates to sausage places."
Really?
I was like, "Oh, it sucks to get that roast for a place I didn't even want to go to."
Yeah.
Jeez, that entire date was just like ripe with genitalia symbolism, I guess. Yeah. It just was.
Yeah, I guess that Freud was in there somewhere.
Also, she was a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
she had the ketchup on bread.
She was asking, excuse me, what's also in this ketchup? Because I got very specific. I'm a very specific vegetarian.
I'm behind her rolling my eyes and apologizing. I barely know her.
There used to be, I used to have a friend who was a vegetarian. When I first moved out here, and this was back before like it has become like this has become the hub of like vegetarian and veganism and having those options. So everywhere we would go, there was never any, like, it was always like a pain to be like, as a matter of fact, I think she was more vegan than anything.
Mm.
And it would always be a big pain to be like, or I don't want to say, to be like a young 20 something. And then I always have to be like, excuse me, so what's in this? Well, what do you have in, and then be like, so I'd be like, yeah, I take the cheeseburger or whatever, da, da, da. And then it's just like this big, long 10-minute thing who my friend, who was nice, but also in her tone, very aggressive. So what is this? And what are you? And it was like every time we ate, and there's always that moment where you're like, oh, right. And I forget that we all have to go through this rigmarole to figure out what you can eat at a place you picked.
At a place you picked? do you guys have eating restrictions at all? Ali, you got your own thing going. You're always with your nice little drink, and I'm you're regimented.
Yeah, I'm a weird eater, but I'm not proud about it, and I don't recommend it to anyone else. It's just kind of where I landed.
Yeah.
But I think what happened was I started noticing when I would have like really bad dips in like blood sugar or whatever. Like I'd get super more depressed, and then I would realize like, oh yeah, it's because like you haven't eaten or you haven't whatever. So then I just started kind of coasting through the day with like protein bars and Soylent and that kind of thing. And then that just kind of became the norm for a while, and it like works still. So yeah. So I'll have big meals like when it's with other people, or if we're gonna have dinner or something, then it's like I'll line it up that way. But I'm definitely not like a 3 square meals a day kind of person.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's odd.
I couldn't do it. Maybe I could. Maybe my life would be way better.
I don't know.
So much big meals.
Yeah.
That I don't need, just because it's like, what if I stopped thinking I needed to derive joy from my meals, maybe it would be nice.
Right.
No, I think that's, I no.
Right, no.
I like, I hate the message of food is fuel. I hate that. I think that's like.
And that's what I have tattooed on my back. So yeah. That's a real problem.
Big.
Yeah. He's fine. Yeah. Capital letters all the way through.
Yes.
And it's like this welcome signs where it's in every language.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I like that if it's like, oh, you should like be eating things to nourish your body. That's great. But in terms of people who are detached from the pleasure of eating and are like, I don't need to, I can meal prep plain chicken breast and boiled vegetables. Yeah. And like, what, like that is so detached.
Did you say boiled?
You hit all these other tattoos.
Did you say boiled? but like, I think that I really like taking pleasure in making meals and eating things throughout the day. And it's like, we have to do it constantly the whole day, spoiler alert, every single day, so it's, you might as well enjoy it.
That is a big life spoiler.
Well, to my fans out there, to all my fans who have bad eating habits, you don't have to eat every day if you don't want to. If you feel like that's what helps you stay skinny, hey, do you. You know, a lot of people are going to tell you not to, you know. And if you're like, you know what, I got a couple extra pounds, you know what, go to the bathroom, throw it up, who cares, just don't tell anybody.
All right, Ronnie Adrian coming in hot with I think what not enough celebrities do, which is support unhealthy habits.
And when he says celebrity, he's not talking about me, because you don't know me. I'm not a celebrity.
People might know you.
Well, in this podcast, maybe.
Yeah, in this podcast. Yeah. I mean, people have heard you on this podcast at least 2 times, maybe even 3.
Right.
They saw you in the background of
so
one.
So, guys, when I finally do break through from my role of sassy neighbor on whose trash can is this?
This is going to be the podcast app that gets you canceled.
Right. Like, don't make this a clip and then, you know, that would be the thing that come and haunts me 10 years later.
Oh, yeah, that's a given. If you clip any of this shit, I'm going to kill you. Don't clip our shit, man. I'll kill you. I don't care who you are. I'll kill you.
Cut to this exact section getting clipped. I will kill you.
You bad me.
You're framed for murder, and this comes back.
Yeah.
This clip comes back.
If you frame me, I'm going to kill you also.
We pause on this and zoom out to Dan on the witness stand in a courtroom.
Looking at the jury all threatening. Did you want to do that as a scene, or were you literally
how my brain works. I don't know if that's a full scene.
We're going to just talk the whole time and then never do improv.
You know, it happens more than maybe audiences would like, but I'm starting to like talking a lot more than I like doing improv lately.
Like, it's definitely like, yeah, man, what about this joke? That is good. That would be a good premise. Anyway, let's move on to something
one
else.
One day,
We'll hit the three beats. It's like, I don't want to explain who, what, where. Let's say the thing funny 3 times and move on.
What's really funny is being like, it'd be like, do we just, I don't know. Wait, what about that? Do I just jump? Okay, hold on.
Well, this is what stand-ups do, right? Is they don't waste their time with all the group building. You just kind of get on mic and talk until you say something funny, and then you keep saying it more.
Uh-huh.
And they're way more famous than me.
Hey.
Stand-ups.
All of them.
You've heard of stand-up comedian.
Like, a stand-up go, they go like, you know, like, da-da-da, whatever. And then you could tell when they finally on a roll because they get louder and more confident. And they'll be like, you know, it's like, because my mom, she would always come. You know, my mom, because it's funny about moms, right? Because moms will tell you. And
he's got something. He's
got it now. He's got it now.
You went from guy to stand up. I'll try a scene.
Do you cut these like this?
I'll try a scene. I haven't listened to an episode for a while. Brian, do we cut these? I usually say we'll cut it, but I don't know if he actually does. Let us know, Brian.
And then you want him to respond on the track.
No. all right. Thanks so much for coming to the... I'm sorry. Thanks for coming to the restaurant today. I felt like... As a waiter, I've never said that to anybody in that way. It felt like a business meeting. But thanks for coming in. How's everybody doing today?
Good. Really, really hungry, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
If you'd like, I can get you started with some waters. And then we've got some interesting drink specials for the fall. We have a lot of autumnal stuff, some pumpkin-flavored drinks and the like. Would you like to check those out or take some time to look at the menu?
Sweetheart, are you feeling a cocktail?
Ooh, you know what? Yeah, I'll do a pumpkin ale.
A pumpkin ale.
Yeah,
great.
Thanks.
Got it. Anybody else want a drink?
Did you say that you had seasonal cocktails?
Seasonal cocktails. Yeah. So we've got a pumpkin bourbon, old fashioned.
Seasonal old fashioned.
A seasonal old fashioned.
Oh,
yeah.
What makes it a
the pumpkin flavoring?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it makes it a
pumpkin ale, pumpkin bourbon, and then an old fashioned that's. Pumpkin old fashioned.
Well, the pumpkin is coming from the.
Oh, it's a pumpkin bourbon in the old fashioned.
No, I'm sorry if I was unclear. It's an old fashioned, and the bitters are pumpkin flavored.
Pumpkin bitters.
Yes. And
have you ever heard of pumpkin bitters?
I never have. The things they come up with.
Sorry, the dog was pooping, and I was just wondering if it was going to be catching on your sight line, but I think we missed it.
Yeah, is there a better seat in the restaurant?
This is the best seat in the house.
Best seat in the house. Okay, it's just right across from the dog park.
It sure is. Well, yeah, people love it because they get to watch the dogs and stuff and smell them and all that.
Okay. Yeah, you can't smell
it. But when they're like having fun, but it just seems like this seems to be just like dog poop hour because there's a lot of dogs just handling their business.
People kind of, you know, you're here for happy hour after work, and a lot of people after work they take their dogs to the park. Sometimes the dogs will get into our garbage, and then it'll give them tummy issues, and then the park is kind of where the tummy issues get evacuated. I don't want to talk about it more because you're about to eat, but it is good to know.
And there are no seats inside the restaurant, actually.
Oh, there are, but I wanted to give you the best seat in the house, which you can look at the dogs, you can kind of experience them, see all the funny people that come to the dog park, get people watching, but I can move you inside if you'd like.
Jerry, it's your choice. I can kind of avert my eyes whenever I see a dog pooping, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I've already contoured this seat to fashion my buttocks, so I guess we could just...
I was wondering what you were doing there, kind of wriggling and writhing around.
Yeah, I mean, it was a 10-minute affair, I don't want to have to redo that again in another seat. So
He came before you guys and scouted the place and got the hands for the best table in the house, and then he just kind of... Anyway,
Jerry needs to come in early because we do this. I swear to God, we've done this several times a week where we come here for, you know, we're supposed to be an hour. We end up hemming and hawing the whole time picking our drinks.
Yeah.
And by the time the drinks come out, it's time for us to leave.
It's so true.
Do you have a hard out at the restaurant here?
Well, we only pay for 1 hour of parking.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll hurry it up then because I know we got to get you out of here then for your happy
hour. We're not going to pay another $2 per hour.
I mean, it makes sense. Okay, it also gets us on a deadline to be like, hey, we got to catch up with an hour. Because if you got too much time, I feel like you're not really intentional about your meeting with your buds. You know?
Exactly.
What worries me as an outside observer is, I mean, this has already been, you know, the seating. You took the tour of the place, which we don't usually do. It's been 15 minutes, you know. I haven't even seen y'all have a chance to catch up. So maybe I'll speed it up. I'll take the drink orders and I'll let you talk.
Hey, I've got a question. So, at what point did the neighborhood get worse? Because, you know, the sirens keep going.
Uh-huh.
That store was not there anymore. There's a lot of bullet holes in some of the walls. Like, this used to be a very... This used to be more of an upscale neighborhood.
I don't know. Probably around the time that the Ford factory left. A lot of people would come here from their long shift at the Ford Motor Car Factory. And I know the whole history of my dad, my grandpa, and his father worked there. But I'm sure you want to catch up, so I will take your drink orders and get out of here.
Okay, I think I decided on... You said you were having the pumpkin ale?
I'm going to have the pumpkin ale.
I don't really like old fashions.
Okay.
Do you have another cocktail that's a seasonal cocktail?
We do. We have several, yeah. So we've got the we have the seasonal Mai Tai.
And that German Shepherd is...
Yeah.
He's releasing something that looks bigger than his body.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
That's
Tractor. Yeah, that's Tractor. He is unwell.
Oh.
Yeah, sadly, Tractor got into the bread yeast, and it has been kind of... There's a mother dough in his stomach right now.
So it seems like there's a pretty straight pipeline that you guys have figured out the science of that goes from this restaurant's trash right to the dogs in the dog park.
Yeah.
Well, it's good for the environment. It's, food waste is a real issue in restaurants. I don't know if you know this, but food waste. I said waste. I think I was thinking about the yeast in Tractor's stomach.
There's I think you probably were.
A mother dough in
there. I think you probably were.
We didn't need the process of what your brain process was.
I think I mixed waste and yeast, and I said food waste.
Food waste. Oh. I mean, that sounds like something I'd order. Well,
what do you mean?
It sounds like...
I don't understand what you mean with that.
Well, like you said, it's got... It sounds like a fun combination of yeast and waste, and it's got food in it.
So you would order two things mixed together that are a fun combination?
Well, I'm a sucker for those. Like when we had the hot burger, remember that? It was a hot dog burger.
Oh, yes.
All right. Maybe you're just not bothering you guys, but that helicopter's flashing the light. They're probably looking for somebody. Like,
oh, for sure they are.
How often does that happen?
Just if somebody has committed a crime and is running away from
the
helicopter.
Shining the spotlight straight at Tractor.
Oh, shit. Okay. I would hate if they took Tractor in.
Yikes.
That guy's a sweet guy. Okay.
The light hitting that. Ooh, it looks even worse right what came it. Out of him now with the light on it.
I have several tables here, and they're all kind of looking at me. I don't know if they need something, probably. So I want to just take your order and get out of your hair and obviously let you catch up. This has been at least 5 minutes of your hour.
Okay, no, that's fine. We'll go quick. We'll make this easy. So she's having a pumpkin ale. I'm going to have a...
Have a maple Mai Tai if you wanted to do that. That's a
maple Mai Tai.
You were going to say martini, though. I interrupted.
But now I'm thinking. I'm thinking again.
I'll give you a chance to think, and I'll let your friend Jerry over here order.
Yeah,
if you don't mind being on a first-name basis. I heard him say your name several times.
Okay, well... That's fine.
All right.
Jerry, tell him how you spell it.
Oh, I spell it J.
Normal so far.
Are you going to write this down?
Yeah, well, I'll remember it, but if it's unusual, I'll write it down.
No, it's not really that unusual. Okay. It's actually pretty simple.
Oh, what is
it? It's like the standard spelling, actually. It's J-E-R-R.
Got it.
I... Two E's.
Oh, not standard.
And a Y at the end.
Wow.
Isn't that bonkers?
Four vowels right at the end there. Any reason?
That'd be an expensive name on Wheel of Fortune, I'll tell you that much.
The nurse...
How do you mean? I'm not sure I understand.
Are you familiar with the game show Wheel of Fortune?
If you get the name right, don't you make a lot of money?
But to solve it, you have to pick letters, and the vowels cost money.
That's why they say I'd like to buy a vowel.
You have to spend your own money.
I never would. I'd just get consonants and get it from those.
Well, but then you'd have a hard time knowing what the word was. So, for example, if Jerry's name was on the board, you'd have maybe, let's say you guessed R. So you'd have blank, blank, R, R, and then about five open spots after that.
Well, what's the clue? Maybe I could get it if it was the guy I met's name.
Best friend's names.
Best friend. That's cool.
Yeah, I've known.
I am so sorry. One of my tables, I think, just walked, and they take that out of my salary.
That's terrible, but how do they know how much they would have spent?
Well, they guess by a table number, and they have a forensic scientist.
Forensic scientist?
Yeah, come in and look at the people and kind of guess. It's like Minority Report. It's like future crimes, but it's future money spent here, and they find that saves them more money because we get a lot of walks. I do specifically.
Cynthia's always talking about committing future crimes.
I am.
Really?
I just like to daydream about what I might commit in the future, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really... So I think that's just daydreaming. It's not committing a future crime, I don't
but
think.
But it's always...
Well, are you ever going to do it? Have you ever
filled, I don't know. That's what makes it so exciting. That's my daydreams are always specifically about crimes that I might commit in the future.
I don't want to make you incriminate yourself, but is there one that you'd like to tell me?
Well, there's a nail salon that I go to, and there's this one woman who comes in at the same time as me. Our time slot is Sunday at 1 p.m. And when I tell you I hate this woman.
Oh, shit.
I don't know what it is about her. I hate her.
Yeah.
So sometimes I fantasize, as I'm sitting there getting my full set, I fantasize about stealing all the money from the cash register. Uh-huh. Well, first I'd have to create a diversion. Uh-huh. I have
premeditated for sure.
Yes, I have taking an egg out of my purse, chucking it at the window, and then walking in and going, "Those youths just egged the salon."
Taking an egg out of your purse, how do you keep it from cracking?
Put it in a sock. That's a good question, though. I hadn't thought about that.
So the sock seems like the perfect answer for that.
Yes.
I disagree,
that's,
Jerry.
That solves the problem.
I know we just met Jerry, but since we're on a first-name basis, or at least I am, I disagree with you.
I put my feet in socks every day, having broken my foot once. Mm-hmm. The one time I had my foot out of a sock, foot broke. Mm.
I think that helped me decide. I'm going to have an egg drop soup.
Okay, the egg drop soup, and did you decide on the drink?
But that was the drink.
Okay.
And is there any kind of...
Usually that
seasonal
is a meal, but okay.
Variation on the egg drop soup cocktail?
No, it's not a cocktail. It is a drink. Not a drink. It's a soup.
It's non-alcoholic egg drop soup.
The whole thing. Never have you ever had... I am so sorry. I am feeling like I am taking up too much of your time here. I'm going to get you the egg drop soup. I'm going to get you the pumpkin ale. I don't believe Jerry with a I, two E's, and a Y ordered anything yet. Would you like anything, Jerry?
I actually would. I'm very thirsty. I saw on the sign out there that you have a special of 10 drinks that you call it your around-the-world drink platter.
Yeah.
What are those 10 drinks?
You'd like me to name all 10 of them?
I mean, because I want to know which ones they are. I want to know which one I might want
to
get.
Last time Jerry went to the eye doctor, he could only read the E, the very top E. So he saw 10 drinks around the world, and I was telling him, well, which one do you like? And he said, I can't read any of those ones underneath. It's smaller print. So he has to ask.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I couldn't read them, but I was making no effort to even try because I was like...
that's what it sounds like to me.
You know, because I was like, that's what the waiter's job is for. Like, what would you do? Like, why would you go somewhere and then, like, take somebody's job away
it's
from you?
It's a great point. The amount we're paying for parking, we're not going to be reading our own drinks. Sorry, no offense, sir.
$2.
$2 per hour.
The parking's not on us, but okay. Drink-wise, cocktail-wise, we've got, of course, a shoju cocktail, so that's Japan.
Okay.
We start in the Far East there.
Okay.
And then from Japan, we go to China. Mm. And that is a green tea beer to finish that up.
Okay.
And then we're going straight to Russia for a nice vodka, potato vodka. So you've got shoju, start with a little liquor, and then we're jumping into beer. And now we're back to the liquor.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, from Russia, we're going to take a little detour to the United States for a Budweiser. That's number four.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so that's 4 of 10.
Yeah.
That's 4. And sorry,
what it is so far, are you still interested? Because I will stop if you're not. I don't want to go
through all 10. I was on board, then I'm kind of wavering, but I feel like these next 6 are going to really help me decide if I'm going to have it or not.
Okay, fantastic. Sorry, were you going to...
Oh, I don't know if you noticed, but they're arresting that dog Tractor. They've got his front paws in cuffs.
Oh, my...
Hey. He's resisting. Tractor's resisting.
That absolutely is resisting arrest.
I feel like I should do something. I always said if I saw something like this happen, I would do something.
No. If we've learned anything from the past year, it's let authority do what they're going to do.
Right. Agreed. All around. Cynthia, I'm going to need a verbal agreement from you on that one before we move on.
Yes, I agree.
All right, great. So now that was number 4 was the Budweiser. So we've gone liquor, beer. Obviously, next up, a liquor. So we're going to go to Scotland for a Lagavulin scotch.
Ah, Lagavulin.
So now you're in scotch. So now we've gone from light colored into dark colored.
I can tell you right now, though, This itinerary, this is a wild trip.
It is a wild trip. It was.
It's beer before liquor after beer before liquor beer after
I
liquor before beer.
I just mean the
beer.
Travel of it
and
all.
Travel-wise.
Oh, yeah. You're saying like, the connecting
flights.
Oh,
you're going to go there and here to come to America to go back to Scotland?
Right.
It's like, wow, that's a real humdinger. And trust me, I fly for work.
In what sense? Are you a pilot?
Oh, no. Oh. I sit down at the bottom of planes and just watch the like the animal carts to make sure that nothing goes wrong.
Oh, I always wondered.
Terry's great with animals as long as they're mildly sedated.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And if they're contained. Mildly sedated, I'm your guy.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
If they're even just a bit up, it's I'm like Kathy. Ack!
Any notes on this arrest going down out there with Tractor, the German Shepherd?
Oh, yeah. Sedate the dog.
Same.
Sedate the dog.
I could have done 5 more alcohols, by the way, confidently.
I was trying to buy you a little time to come up with some.
Oh, I can't. While we're talking, I can't think about it. I just have to be saying it. Yeah. That was like a mumblecore movie.
It really was.
100%.
Kind of atmospheric, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Only improv I do now.
Mumblecore.
Mumblecore, yeah.
Yeah, dude, you pick 3 of the most mumblecore improvisers to come and do your... Like,
yeah.
If you're looking for somebody, if you're looking for wild cards, if you're looking for wild cards out the box, no.
We'll give you 5 different games.
And then also give you time to play each one of them.
Yeah,
that's right.
I love Dan being like, I have an idea for something, and then that's what it was.
It was, yeah, that was it. That was the exact idea I had.
That was start to finish that we executed your idea.
That's the thing is, you give people room, and they'll do what you think they should.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't have much of an idea. Just inconvenient ordering, you know.
Well, because part of that is like you do the thing, and then as soon as stuff happens, it's like, well, the technical improviser of me is being like, we have to let Dan get his idea out first, right? And then the improviser ready to pounce on me is being like, we're riding this wave right here, pretty well. Let's hit this one first, and then we'll kind of get back to Dan. Yeah. But let's just see what this looks like.
Let's see if this becomes unusual enough to hit to heighten.
Yeah.
Nope. All right, let's roll.
All right, Dan, so back to what you were going to pitch beforehand.
Yeah.
And that was a dead end. Sorry about that.
I could feel Hillary being like, okay, so the drinks are you going to say an unusual thing, or are we just doing this?
100%. 100%.
I was sitting over here thinking, how much, like, that beginning flub, how do I really want to spend more time on that?
And I kept sitting there thinking,
being like, what could be the reason why he messed up like that at the beginning? Does he start new? Well, now he sounds so much confident now. I still can make it up. Let me see. What can I do? Can I gift him with something? I was sitting over here just like thinking that you guys were talking. And then were you like, do you guys even want any drinks? And then you looked at me. It's like, oh, I guess I am in the scene. Okay.
I want to get a good freeze frame from someone out there that's watching. Ronnie was thinking very hard at a certain point, and I noticed you just kind of staring.
Me too. I noticed that too.
I noticed that too. That
it's like off in this direction. It's really funny.
Hey, it's good to be in person with y'all.
It is great.
Hell yeah.
That the thing that we were talking about earlier about like, you know, do I want to do the work to get to the thing that I know will be nice?
Mm-hmm.
So I had that recently where someone was like, we could do this over the phone or we could grab a coffee or whatever. And I was like, it's a Monday. I just want to do it on the phone and not have to worry about it. But I was like, well, I just spent 17 months shut in and like wishing I was seeing people more.
Right.
I should just say yes to this stuff. Unless it's actually causing, like, it wasn't like I had a busy day.
Mm. Right.
So it's not causing me any like strife or anxiety. And so I was like, all right, I'll do the coffee because, man, it was dark for a little while, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Wasn't it, Ronnie? Ronnie, I mean, Adrian, this is my Byron Allen. Ronnie Adrian, it was pretty dark for the last 18 months, wasn't it?
Hey, man, it was as dark as my skin.
That's not what I was setting up.
Yeah, thanks for the setup, Byron. I know exactly what you want from me. Yeah, dude, it was as dark as my skin. Anyway, Byron sets up the alley-oops and I dunk it hard.
This is Byron's big go-to.
That show is always funny because it is just like the dude being like, yeah. Hey, man, you got something about fish tanks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then say the thing. About
and then watching the comedian just have to kind of go, yeah. Man, my fish tank, man, it's like then going to their shtick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like.
It's so much less elegant than like whatever the Letterman or Leno or like Conan, where they're like, it's a little bit of a conversation. Byron Allen is exactly that. It's like forcing stand-up routines into a conversation.
It's like they set up and be like, all right, so what are some things you might want to talk about on the show?
Yeah.
We can give the notes to Byron, and he's going to throw it to you, so be ready. You need to be like, yeah, okay, right. Like, because even with like, or like if you ever seen like a late night show, and then when somebody's getting off track, and the host, because I've seen it, and I've always been like, oh, that's like out of the norm when a host kind of goes like, yeah, and it's like they set them up for something and they're talking about something different. It's like, yeah, but you had something about a picnic though, right? You said something about you had a picnic thing happen to you earlier, back, right? Yeah. And you're like, oh yeah, yeah, I had a picnic thing, right?
Sorry, we were naturally talking for a second.
I saw one that enraged me the other day because it was Fallon and it was Taylor Swift on Fallon, and she was really, first of all, obviously when I started watching late night shows, I used to think that that was a genuine discovery. Okay. I didn't realize that it was very intentionally pre-planned prompts and stories. And this one was so annoying because it was Fallon surprising Taylor Swift with a video that her mom took of when she like had her wisdom teeth taken out or she had like some surgery. And so she's like messed up on painkillers, crying about like opening a banana and like eating a banana. And Taylor Swift was like shocked that they had this video, that they were going to play this video, was like horrified, like on TV, like, oh my gosh. And I guess I was mad because I am naive enough to still believe that that was real surprise, right. Mm-hmm. And I knew better, but I'm not convinced either way.
Yeah, in my mind, I'd have to watch it, but it sounds like it could have been real. I don't know though. It does feel like she would know that video
feels
existed,
like she would know.
Right?
Feels like she would know. And
but
so,
like some people, like, because I think it's also like some people, like you feel comfortable enough to surprise them. Like I feel like Taylor's the type of person is being like, well, we talk to her people, and her people think, like, Taylor would like this if you did this. Like, it would be a surprise.
Yeah.
But because some people would be like, what the fuck are you? Are you, like, if you didn't run it by them first?
Yeah.
But maybe everybody is like, we run it by everybody first or whatever.
Right.
But I feel like if you knew somebody or whatever, like, in some of those instances, you would feel more comfortable being able to, like, I'm going to surprise them because I think that'll be more genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I had to guess, I feel like Taylor, but I don't know her at all.
I was wondering because you were on a first name basis with her in that story.
Yeah, well,
and
you
she
know,
actually says that she knows you.
I mean, well.
She said you're the one that.
It was a long time ago. And the same time, it was like, you know, we were both up for the same recording contract. Mm-hmm. She won out.
Oh, you
know,
shit, you went two very different directions.
I mean, yeah, she had better songs. I can admit that. Mm. She had better songs. But if I was a female singing about female issues, I would have had the contract. But instead, no, I was a male singing songs about my dick.
Once again, the famously anti-man music industry. Another career ruined.
Hey, Ronnie, I just want to say that I really hope you get it. I know we're sitting here in the waiting room and waiting to hear, you know, if it's me or if it's you getting the contract, but I really hope it's you.
I mean, hey, look. I mean, you've made some noise. You've definitely made some noise, and I think, you know, your tunes will work well, you know, wherever you land.
Thank you so much.
You know, and I hope I get it too.
Thank you.
But if I do, don't worry. I want to work with you on a song or two on the album.
Oh, that means a lot. That means a lot.
If we can make it work, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I have to say that you're a big inspiration to me, and I actually thought about your songwriting style when I wrote, you know, our song is a slamming screen door, sneaking out late, tapping on your window.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, I guess that does kind of sound like my song that goes, tapping on your window with my dick. Ooh yeah, will you answer it? You know, like.
Yeah.
Definitely. I guess I can see.
Oh,
the influence.
I hope I didn't step on your toes with mine then at all.
I mean, honestly. I mean, no. Just because. Just my charisma and the way I deliver it, like, people can definitely see the clear difference between the two.
Right, of course, of course.
Ronnie Taylor, thank you so much. Sorry to keep you waiting
out
here.
Oh, no, not
here.
At all.
I hope everything's all right. Did you see we do have some sodas, some waters, and some snacks?
Yeah, I put a Sprite in my purse.
Oh, yeah, go for it. Have it
thank
whenever
you so
you'd
much.
Like.
Thank you.
We can afford it here.
I opened a Coke and just poured some on the carpet. You know, just to kind of...
Ronnie, you know. That is the bad boy attitude that we are considering. we're really trying to figure out which direction we want to go with our next big pop star. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, the money is in young listeners, mm-hmm. you know, shares online. That's a lot of older people are streaming. And younger people are not as much. They're spending money.
Right.
And so we're just trying to figure out where to go with that. So obviously that's kind of what the big decision is. Right. We were wondering, this is a little unusual, but maybe we could get you each in the booth and just kind of hear some of what each of you are working on and just kind of try to figure it out. I don't want to pit you against each other. I know it's a little inhumane, but...
Oh, no. Me and Tay-Tay, we're like... You know.
We are. He's he just like that, like crossed fingers.
Right.
A middle and an index finger crossed together.
Right.
Well, that's great because Taylor, you are so fresh, so exciting. How old are you, Taylor?
I'm 15 years old.
And Ronnie, you're 58.
Right.
And really bringing what I would say as a new energy for somebody. That we didn't know much about. You just kind of appeared in Los Angeles.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm a journeyman, and I've been journeying all across the country, you know, and I know, you know, age to me is just a number. And yes, legally I'm 58, but everybody tells me I don't look a day older 50 than 2, right? A day older than 50 and 2. So,
I'll tell you what. Write that down. If we sign him, that's an album title.
That's a day older than 50 and 2. I think that will be very, very interesting to the young kids buying
so
albums.
So hard. We just have so much talent here.
We have so much
talent.
Do you have you met Brent, by the way? Brent.
Hey, Brent. How you doing?
Hello, Brent.
Brent is the head of Universal Music, the new development department. Mm. So he'll be in here, kind of shadowing.
UMG new ND. I don't know if you've heard of us, but
a little joke we have right here is, are you down with UMG? Yeah, new ND.
Yeah, new ND.
That's interesting.
In reference to the Naughty by Nature song OPP.
We started Naughty by Nature. Don't know if you know that. We found those young boys, turned them into the baddest group in town.
That's right. That was us. We gave them their name, Naughty by Nature. And OPP and Hip Hop Hooray was something that we were saying at baseball games.
100%. And they said, are you doing this to us because you hate us? And we said, it's not because I hate you.
Naughty by Nature. All right. Well, let's get you both in the booth and we'll just have a little bit of an old fashioned sing off. Taylor, yes. Why don't we start with what you've been working on.
Okay.
Well, I hate to throw you into this without any vocal warm-ups or anything.
No, that's all right.
But go ahead right now.
Okay. This is just something that's it's a rough idea. Okay. I don't know. But if you think Tim McGraw, I hope you think my favorite song, the one we dance to all night long, and the waves like a spotlight on the beach. When you think happiness, I hope you think that little black dress. Think of my head on your chest, and you're wearing blue jeans.
Ooh, chills.
Wow. Chills. Legitimately impressed that you pulled that out
thank
so quickly.
You so much.
Taylor, you really do know your material.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Taylor, you know your material very well.
I can see a lot of old people streaming that.
Yes, yes. The question is, will young people pay for
it? Will they pay for
it? That's what we're trying to get to the bottom of, is how do we make money off of these kids willing to spend lots of money? Ronnie, let's get you on mic over there. Go ahead and I don't know how many times you used a mic, but mouth up to the mic, Ronnie. You're a little far away there.
This is so exciting. Brent, I'm sorry. I just have to say, Brent, this is so exciting for me because I love to watch Ronnie Adrian perform. He's just such an inspiration to me.
He has a magnetism.
And this isn't going to mess it up like the black thing around it. I'm used to mics that are just with the metal. Just like metal mics that you grab.
Yeah, that's the windscreen on there. And that's just for popping and breathiness on there. Yeah, okay. Which... I've heard some of your stuff. It will probably help to have that on there for you.
Yeah, a lot of popping peas in your demos that you submitted to us far.
Well, I mean, I don't hear it. Anyway, this is a song that I got. This is a little something that I've been working on. Pull back penises while I'm driving in my truck. We were drunk last night, but now we got no luck. I'm in my steering wheel. I'm in my steering wheel.
Incredible.
Cause I'm drunk, I'm in my steering wheel.
What does it
I'm
mean?
In my steering wheel. using my dick to drive me home.
Wow.
Wow, bravo. Wow. Bravo, Ronnie. Wow.
Ronnie, you just bring something so unusual to your songs that is just that I guess it must be authentically you because it's not expected from me. Mm-hmm.
There's certainly something, you know, Taylor, you do this well where it feels very universal, very relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie's lyrics are somewhat of a riddle. And I kind of want to get to the bottom of them.
It's like Paul Simon a little bit.
100%. What the hell's a Kodachrome?
No.
No idea.
Thank you. Paul Simon, I kind of grew up with him. He's a few years older than me, but I kind of grew up with him, you know.
While listening to him?
No, as friends.
Oh, okay. Wow. You grew up near each other.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, he's a family friend, the Simon family.
Pulled back penises. Oh, it's stuck in my head. Pulled back penises.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard it in your headphones, but the P's did pop pretty hard on that one. We're going to have to get a couple more.
We'll have to figure out a few more screens on there. Well, something we do, I hate to keep putting you all on the spot here, but something we do is when we have a new artist out, we like to have them do, you know, a theme song for either a new animated movie or if there's a Bond movie coming out, something like that to kind of really be on the scene.
This is to put more money in your pockets because, again, old people, they're streaming music, young people. Not paying for it.
Yes. So we're trying our best to figure it out. So far, all we could do is just get your money by having the studios pay you to do a theme song. So I don't want to put you on the spot again, but I'm going to Taylor. Maybe if you could do a theme song for, we could give you a direction. Okay. How about we have a new Disney movie coming out called Frozen.
Frozen. Oh,
and
great.
And it's two sisters.
Hypothetically,
yeah, we've been kind of, and one is cold and the other, you know, can't be outside, I think is what we're going for there.
One's cold, the other can't be outside.
Understood. Wow. Okay. Well, just, you know, here I go. Just, I don't know, throwing spaghetti against the wall. Two sisters, one is shivering and the other is temperature normal because she's inside. Two sisters, one is frozen solid, she is made of ice, while her sister's nice indoors.
Wow.
I don't know. That was garbage.
No, it was not.
Dan, I'll tell you what, that demo tape we got from Adele Dazeem, I mean, this shit's on that.
This shit's on Dazeem.
Yes.
This shit's on Dazeem.
Shit's on Dazeem.
The wickedly awful Adele Dazeem.
Wickedly awful.
Ronnie, maybe we'll throw you in a different direction here. Or would you like to do Frozen?
You can give me a different one.
All right. for this new James Bond film coming out, it's called Skyfall, and it's about an aging James Bond and Javier Bardem.
Very cold.
He's very cold. So far, what we have is he's very cold, is what Daniel really wanted to work with.
Very cold, and he loves a woman who can't go outside.
Yes.
Okay, and it's still Sean Connery?
Hasn't been for about 3 decades, Ronnie.
I just remember growing up when I was a child, you know, watching the Sean Connery, James Bonds, when they were coming out in theaters, because, you know, of my age and everything.
Right. Movies still come out in theaters. Well, let's go ahead. It's Daniel Craig, who, if you didn't even know that, you probably don't know who he is, but go ahead and give it a shot there.
All right. And you said it's named Skyfall?
Yes.
All right. And you want me to keep the wind thing on? You don't want me to take that off?
Absolutely.
Okay. And it's recording everything perfectly, like, fine? Because, like I said, I'm used to...
Sound goes into that device, onto our track.
Okay. All right. Just a little different than what I do, but hey, if you want to sign with the big boys, I guess sometimes you got to compromise. All right, so...
He's really feeling it.
James Bond! Where's your penis at? Oh, there it is in your pants, shaking, not stirred. I'm talking about your sperm. Skyfall. 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 Bang, bang. That's the sound of the cum.
Fantastic.
Wow.
I feel
just to get to watch him work real time, it's inspiring.
I feel in awe. I feel a little embarrassed that we put you both on the spot to do this, but you both really showed us a lot today. And I think we do know exactly what we'd be getting from each of you, which is what we wanted.
100%
out of this.
Well, yeah, I just want to make sure that it's clear that, you know, it's not Taylor's fault that her songwriting isn't so imaginative. She's just 15.
Yeah,
you know, like,
I'm just
so
15.
Obviously, she's cut and dry kind of thing. Right. And, like, you know, I'm a little bit more seasoned. You know, so therefore, that's why I have so much imagery in my music. And so don't hold this against her. Like, if you could give two contracts, I mean, I think you would make the right choice in giving her the other contract.
I do think one appeal that Taylor has is that family mainstream appeal. You know, we're not going to get in trouble with any Taylor Swift lyrics. I'll tell you that much.
No.
But, Ronnie, here's a question. As an artist, sometimes we need to compromise a little bit just to reach a wider audience. Would you be open to toning down a little, a tiny percent of the genital reference, of the use of the word sperm, referring to fluids being shaken, not stirred?
We're not saying
cut it. You can release that version. But if we put out something for radio, would you be able to make the switch?
I mean, I just think that it's really interesting that you're asking me that just because I just wrote, that's James Bond. Mm-hmm. That's him in a nutshell. Have you ever seen a James Bond film? So to me, it would be disingenuous. What else would I be thinking about with James Bond?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sitting around on the beach. No, James Bond uses his penis to seduce women, and then he ejaculates on them. Like, that's clearly...
It's a bit of a misunderstanding, I think, of what James Bond does. But, yeah, well, you know... A lot of those movies, the songs deal with metaphor or things like that, things that you are capable of, but this one seems a little literal with a little metaphor in there. But, well, I think I've kind of made a decision, and my big question, Ronnie, if you don't get the contract, will you continue to not tell me where my children are? Or was this, have we satisfied the deal here? Of the kidnapping, where now that we have considered you, I can have my kids back.
Well, I can 100% tell you that if I don't get this deal, I'm going to kill myself.
Okay, damn it.
And therefore, rather...
Oh, dear.
Does that mean that your kids also die before me? Or will I die taking the secret of where they are to my grave?
This is an awful riddle for me to have to solve.
Truly, just a saw mastermind.
Tell my dad I love him.
Okay.
That's what I heard this morning as I looked at your kid's eyes chained to a wall. I didn't pull out my penis because your man's not a pedo. But when I went to the bathroom, dick was in my hand.
And we pull out and the same song is being sung but by Taylor Swift at the
premiere of Frozen.
Dick was in my hand, and you're never gonna see your kids again. Yo, you're never gonna see your kids again. I got my dick in my hand, and you're gonna give me my record contract.
See, honey, I told you it was worth it. I mean...
Thank you, everybody. I love my fans.
Same. Wow, we made you guys work there. I was really happy watching you both sing.
You guys both crushed it.
You both crushed it. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I think that each of those would have gotten an ovation in front of a live audience.
I really enjoyed... I was obviously cheating, one might say, but just watching Ronnie actually... Like, shake and not stirred, I'm talking about my sperm. Is that as a lyric slaps? That's all I can say about that.
That as a lyric slaps. You know, and it's crazy. Still never been to be on off book.
Really?
Still never been off book.
Wow, what'd you do to Zach and Jess?
Nothing. But please believe me when I say you, just even the thought of it scares me to death. So I'm also kind of glad they have never asked.
It's a really tough ask Not in a negative way, because I love doing the show, but for like a more heady improviser, because you have no time to think.
Right.
You just have to like fucking do it.
Right.
But somehow Zach and Jess are both geniuses of thinking of plot also while it's happening.
Totally.
But the first time I did it, I was like, ooh, I am not good at this. Right. And had to realize like, oh, you can't plan anything at all.
Right. It just like, it's kind of like, it's just intimidating to watch them because they're so great and they feel like they can pick up anything and do anything. That is an improviser who has like strived to try to be whatever the perfect improviser is, like to feel so far away from being like anywhere close to that is like, it's like a big Achilles heel to me.
Yeah.
It immediately makes me get too self-conscious about what I'm doing, and that's when I fall apart.
You can see it. That's why you haven't been invited on.
That's why they know. It feels like a different language almost. Like if you had to improvise in a language where you were more consciously thinking about what you were saying and it wasn't just coming naturally, you know? It's like a whole other set of balls to be juggling, you know? It's like, yeah.
It's also, we've kind of talked about this on the air before because I've been thinking about it more, but it is so tough to have like gotten done something for so long that you're like pretty comfortable, like you could walk into any scenario and then go back to being uncomfortable at something,
right,
and be like, oh, I really made myself feel so safe for so long.
Yeah.
And then it's nice to be feel like unsafe, but it's also like scary again, where it's like, oh yeah, that's right, I'm not good at everything, I just got good at this one thing.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. I tried to go back and take a musical improv class like after I'd been on Harold Knight for years, and it was like, it was truly challenging. Also just to put my head into like a student's mentality again.
Yeah, totally.
I flipped off the teacher a bunch. I tossed a few chairs, you know.
I heard a big thing where you said, come to Harold Knight and watch how good I am.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, you think I'm failing here? Come to Harold Knight. I'm really good.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he can rhyme. Good job, Glenn. Well, let's see him heighten.
You know, that's what, you know, obviously we can relate this to, you know, like comedy stuff, but it is like, I think the biggest thing for me was having to be able to wrap my mind around the idea that it's like, you know, when you've been good at something for a while, and then now that is how you think people perceive you as good at this thing, like then it's hard to step into something else that you won't be as good at, and have the time to have to kind of grow and whatever. And then watching everybody who you have made in your mind be like, but they know how good I am. Like, so if they see me fail, it's like it erases everything they think about me. You know what I mean? Like, which is, you shouldn't be, you know what I mean? It was like, if I used to think that, like, when I would be in the comedy community, being like, I'm a good improviser. And then, so, like, if I try to do other things or, like, sketch or, like, kind of character stuff or whatever, it's like, if this doesn't go well, like, everybody's going to think I'm not funny. It took a long time for me to get over the fact that it's being like, no, people, if they thought you were funny before, they're not going to just go, if they see, like, a bad character or a bad sketch or whatever, be like, man, I guess I was wrong.
Never
you know
mind.
What I mean? Like, it took so long for me to, like, get that. Because then it made me scared to do stuff outside of what I was good at at a certain point.
Yeah, you forget that you've built up like enough goodwill or enough credit or whatever already, right? And then it like feels like you have more to lose somehow. Because it's like, oh, I can only, if I do this, it's just keeping up the same level. And if I fail at it, then I'm fucked.
Right.
You know, it's that kind of thing, which is like, really destructive thinking for sure.
I think for me also, I'm trying like to down both of those roads. Trying to take away the feeling and the like need to be like defined by how good I am right away at something, where it's like, because that stops me from doing a lot of things, because you shouldn't be good at things right away. Most of the time you won't be.
And it's really freeing too to go into stuff and go like, I'm just starting this, so I'm allowed to be bad, and that's kind of expected. And if you're not bad, it's like such a bonus. Cool, you did well at it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's like, who cares? I just started this thing, you know?
Yeah. Because I was like inherently understood improv.
Right.
So I was never the worst in the class. I was always like, oh, I get it. Other things, it's not that way. I brought in like the worst pilot in my pilot writing class or whatever, and be like, "Oh, fuck that!
Yeah,
I don't want to be bad at things
ever. Yeah.
Yeah, I have lived the trajectory a couple times in my life of like being naturally talented at something and then not realizing that I needed to like work harder at it or like keep improving, and then feeling that my skills just like completely had gone stagnant. And the first example was playing basketball in fourth grade, and no one else understood. None of the other girls understood that we were supposed to drop all of the female socialization that we had already undergone. So it's like you need to play nice when you're everywhere else. But when you're like wearing a jersey on the basketball court, it not only is it allowed to tear the ball away from someone, but it's encouraged. And no one got that. I took to that lesson very easily. Mm-hmm. And my coach did call me Bulldog. And then I didn't practice at all. Like, didn't understand. Didn't like, just was like, this is cool that I'm good at basketball. And then I quickly became not at all good at basketball because everyone else was like working on their layups and their passes and everything like that. And I remember the absolute, like, it's like a sense memory of the moment during a game when I tried to steal a ball away from someone and she just pivoted and I was like, fuck.
This doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting experience to remember that like feeling and thought process which I do not remember about my fourth grade life. But like noticing, you probably noticed looking back more so at the time of like, oh, I am less precious about the socialization part of it.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Looking back, I think I was probably like delighted. I was like, it's fun that you're just like allowed to do this, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Ann Matthews. Mr. Ann Matthews.
Yes.
Hi. Hey, so I just wanted to talk to you for a little bit.
Mm.
So Bulldog started off. Bulldog was doing really good early.
She's doing great. I'm so proud of her.
Yeah. She was doing really good. It just seems like over the last few weeks, everyone else on the team has kind of raised their level of skill.
Mm.
And it feels like Bulldog is just still kind of just running around trying to rip the ball from people, and that's kind of where she stayed. So are you looking at the sheets that I'm giving after practice to kind of work on at home and things like that?
Well, yeah, sure. We run the exercises. I set up some of those pylons in the driveway, and we've got her doing, you know, dribbling and stuff like that. Is she, you're saying that she's that far behind that you need to talk to me?
Yeah, because I don't necessarily know how. Listen, I don't. Obviously, we all know that I'm a disgraced college basketball coach. So it's
you made that very clear.
I don't know how to really talk to children.
Mm-hmm.
So in this, I'm making an effort to be like, hey, I don't really know how to speak to Bulldog, and other than just yelling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just however she learns, I'm trying to learn it from you. It's just because, you know, I'm on my third strike here. So like, this is literally the lowest rung I can be on as a coach. So it's just like I'm just trying to connect with Bulldog because I see some intensity there, and I would just love for that intensity to.
Oh, okay. Well, I will say I think you're expecting a lot from these kids. I think that the fact that they're getting out there, they're having fun, they're exhibiting.
Hey, Bulldog, don't chew on that mat. Don't chew on that mat. That mat is for diving.
Basketball.
Okay, so diving onto. Okay.
Okay. Punt. Poo.
No, it's not.
She punted me.
No. Hey, Chrissy, it's allowed right now. It's allowed right now. It's allowed on this court. You're on my court, and it's allowed.
Okay.
Okay. I see. I see the problem.
And she does that a lot, where she everything that happens outside of everything like that's aggressive or anything that's just not even in the realm of basketball, she tells everybody that it's allowed because you're on the basketball court.
Okay. I'm gonna link this back to a moment that happened. If you remember, for about the first week, she was being too polite on the court. Do you remember that? She was being very, you know, empathetic. She didn't want to steal the ball because we always told her stealing is wrong, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And we had to kind of reverse that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've told her now is,
yeah, that's when I was. That's when I tentatively have named her Sheepdog.
Sheepdog, yes,
right,
right. Sheepdog, and then the switch happened. She became Bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
What we think really made it click for her was telling her, pretend every other player out there is trying to kill mommy and daddy. And once we said that, I mean, the ferocity that came out of that girl.
I mean, listen, I've worked with a lot of kids, mm-hmm. and who am I to tell you that that's not what you say? I've told a lot of kids something similar to that. Uh-huh. Like, I had this one basketball player, Jamal. He looked like he was NBA bound, and I told him, I was like, imagine one of your homies came up to you and shot a gun in his face. You know, uh-huh. I was doing the whole thing that, you know, the black kids do where they do that kind of hand stuff like this so he can kind of relate.
I don't know if that's appropriate.
Well, I mean, you don't understand because, I mean, look, as a white coach, I have to deal with a lot of black athletes. You kind of have to speak on that language. So anyway, so there was a lot of stuff. Huh. And I was like, you know, imagine imagine the other teammate that came through with a gun. He had shot one of your homies.
Okay.
Right? Like, and the only way to get your revenge on him is to score 27 points. You know, and on the way, we're talking about scratching and clawing and, you know, like, and hey, if you want to say a little something in his ear, talk about his mama like you guys do, like stuff like that, you know. But apparently you do that for 30 years and all of a sudden people in your past had a problem with it and they never mentioned it except at meetings and stuff sometimes. But it's only, but you know, you're a coach. You're like, you're just mad like this because, you know, it's in the season. It's in the season. Everyone's head isn't clear in the season. So that's why you want to have a meeting about this.
Mr. Ann Matthews, I do not mean to interrupt, but I'd like to talk about my daughter when you have a chance with the coach.
Yeah, I think he should probably get back to the game, honestly. But
While we're here. Real quick.
Yeah. I see.
But please hang out because this concerns all of us.
Okay.
This kind of method basketball you've been teaching where my daughter has gotten deeply into the character of how to play on the court, I can't get her out of it during the whole season, okay? I mean, you explained to my daughter that she should treat the ball like it's her baby because she kept getting turnovers. We all saw that game where she got 60 turnovers.
60, just heartbreaking. Yes.
60 was a lot. That's what you had to... 60 was a lot.
And now, you know, the ball deflated, and she has been mourning the loss of her baby, and it's been incredibly sad. I mean, look at her crying.
Excuse me, Dad. Can you pull the car around? I gotta get home. I can't be here. Grief is nonlinear. And right now, I am really dipping down. It's hard for me to look at all of these bouncing orange healthy basketballs. You know, I don't begrudge the other girls owning these basketballs.
Do you see what I mean here? Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean? She's too depressed to even play. Honey, I'll pull the car around, but don't you want to play a little bit? Maybe get out there. Maybe form a relationship with a new ball.
I don't know if I'm ever going to feel like playing again. Jesus. I don't know if the game of basketball means anything.
Listen.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Labradoodle, listen. I think...
Yeah, what's that one?
You know, I think that... It's hard for me to tell you, you know, as a coach, and it's hard for me to tell you how to feel about this thing, because if you feel this impassioned about the deflated ball...
Yeah.
Just imagine how you get that, when you're going to get that back, when you find a new love with a new ball, right? If I were to say, hey, separate this from real life, then how will you be able to get it back when you get that new ball? So I can't be the one to tell them, right? I think Labradoodle's just going through the grief, this kind of thing. But I think, hey, keep in mind, just like women get pregnant again.
What's pregnant?
How did you get so mature in some ways? You understand the non-linear nature of grief and how to respect someone else's joy even while you're sad.
I'm in fourth grade.
Okay.
Just tell her it's when a mommy and a daddy make a new ball.
Hey, don't tell me how to parent my goddamn kid,
Well,
Glenn.
She doesn't know what pregnancy is.
Okay, all right, okay, hey, everybody.
You don't tell me how to parent my kid, Glenn.
Okay, listen, hey, everybody here, we're getting a little bit too rowdy, which... Back in the college days, I would have loved. Right now, my parole officer said it's not good to be around aggression. So, listen, Labradoodle, it's okay. Just take your daughter home. Hey, Bulldog just needs to, I don't know, just maybe don't bite as much, you know, and rip the ball off. And then, but maybe they can, like, pass it or something. I don't. It's just
look,
maybe
she's not getting
on.
60 turnovers. That feels like a victory to me compared to some people.
Glenn, we were on the way out, and I heard that, and I'm turning right back around. Can you wait 1 second, honey? Glenn, that is my daughter you're mocking.
60. 60. How many times did she have possession of the ball?
At least my daughter didn't choke out another girl because she got too close to her parents, okay?
Oh. Hey, Becky! If you come around here again trying to take this ball from me, I'm going to come after your family, and I'm going to curb stomp your little sister.
She shouldn't know what curb stomping is. That's something going on at home. Her little sister, by the way. She's 4!
Coach, I did want to ask about her little sister. Now, did Jamal's approach work?
Well, what ended up really happening, and that was really kind of the thing that kind of spearheaded the investigation, was Jamal got so into it in the game that he ended up choking that guy out within an inch of his life. And then when they asked why he did it.
Well, it's just within an inch of his life.
It's an inch.
Yeah, the guy lived. He can't breathe the same when he doesn't, and he talks through a microphone thing because his trachea is so bent. That he can't speak clearly.
It's not like one of those voice modulator things. He just puts a microphone near
to
his face.
Yeah, he talks like a microphone thing or whatever. I think it's like one of those things where you're like, when you're black and you don't have insurance, like, you know, one of those.
Coach, you can't say that
type
of thing.
As a white coach, you really should not be saying these kinds of things.
I'm telling you, they're like, they're so okay with openness. Like, I'm telling you, it's like, if you ever around a bunch of black people, just really just tear into them like you're like they're one of you. They love that stuff.
What do you even mean by that?
Tear into them like they're one of you.
Yeah. You make them feel like they're white, you know? Like, hey, I talk to you like I talk to my white friends, and they feel, like, comfortable. If I
don't
one thing,
understand
I've
why,
30,
as a violent, racially insensitive coach, they decided to put you in charge of fourth graders instead of college students. I feel like that is a worse place to put you.
I mean, well, because the principal of the elementary school they all go to, he's a fraternity brother of mine.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes perfect sense then. But, hey, girls, I'm glad we could all hang out and just get lunch together outside of the basketball court. It's nice to just kind of get to know my fellow players, I guess, off the court.
Yeah.
Yeah, the games are hard.
They're really hard, emotionally, physically, yeah. I feel like you know, I just wanted to say that I did some stuff on that court that I'm not proud of, and I wanted to apologize to everybody over lunch, and I'm going to share my pizza today if anyone wants it, and that's kind of my apology.
That's really nice. I think we all kind of do things on the basketball court. It's a different world on the court than off, and I brought fruit roll-ups for everyone.
That's really nice. Thank you.
Yeah, the basketball court is definitely a place where we let our inner Lord of the Flies out. And, you know, and then once the game is over, once that fourth quarter buzzer sounds, it's like we're back to reality.
Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, I know that Coach said if anybody tries to get a rebound from me, treat it like they have been trying to steal my man's over and over again for years at a time, even though my man's is my baby daddy, and I need to show them respect, you know, and train them to respect. And I think that affected the way I even treated my teammates if you tried to grab a rebound over me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coach, that's interesting, because, yeah, Coach told me, pretend that there's a guy in your face and he shot one of your homies. And what are you going to do about it? And that has really kind of changed the way that I think and feel when I'm on the court and sometimes when I'm trying to go to sleep at night.
Hang on a sec. Were these fruit roll-ups?
What? Yeah, fruit roll-ups. Oh, gosh. Is there something wrong with the fruit roll-ups?
I feel like... did you rub, like, peanuts on them or something? I'm allergic to nuts. Are these natural?
No. Oh, my gosh. That'd be terrible if somebody had rubbed peanuts on the front roll-ups, and it also would have been terrible if somebody had blocked the layup that I was going for
EpiPen.
On Saturday's game.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have blocked my teammate. I saw the EpiPen.
Wow, you sound like that girl with the fucked up trachea.
See? What a slow, like a slow, patiently talking group of young fourth graders.
Absolutely.
when you did it, I was like, are we the moms? What happened? Oh, we're the, okay.
It was an inelegant.
Okay.
Okay.
Yo, man, these children really, I mean, hey, but that's private school teaching for you. You know what I mean?
That's private school teaching for you. That's a good, that was a real good commentary on our part.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, if anybody could say anything about this episode of Man Dog Pad, Man Dog Pod, is that every scene we've done was a commentary somehow.
There was commentary in everything we did, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Satire.
Yes, yeah.
You definitely got to look, some of it you had to look deeper than others, but it definitely was.
But our audiences are smart. We play up to our audiences because they're smarter people.
Yeah, the first one was about unjust arrests, with the tractor. Uh-huh.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, another episode full of satirical comedy that you're not going to get on a show like Jon Stewart. Or a show like John Oliver.
Give me one more, John.
You're not going to get it on a show like John Madden.
Yeah, you're definitely not getting it on all three of those equally equal material shows.
The master political satirists of our time.
Boom! And then that's why when they come through, boom! John Madden said boom a lot, just for people who didn't really get
it. Everybody wasn't around. Ollie Gondor, thanks for doing the show. Thanks for coming over to my home for it.
Pleasure.
Anything you'd like to plug or somewhere people can find you?
When stuff's happening, I post about it on my Instagram. It's just ALI_GHANDOUR. That's pretty much it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Hillary.
Yeah.
And Matthews.
Yes, it's me.
Anything you'd like to plug in where people can find you?
You gotta figure out what today your handle is.
This will come out on the 15th. Yeah.
Okay. So then I actually am going to be, I'm going to be guesting at a talk show hosted by my friends Monica and Alyssa. It is 8 p.m. on October 21st at the Atwater Playhouse and Acting School. And this is such fresh information that I don't have any I don't even know what it's officially called, and I don't have any
guesting on a talk show.
Yes,
great.
It's a live talk show, and
as yourself.
Sorry, as myself, presumably. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm adaptable. If they 5 minutes before I go on say we'd actually like you to be Jamie Lee Curtis, I'll do that.
Great.
I hope they choose Jamie Lee Curtis too.
Check out Hillary Ann Matthews as Jamie Lee Curtis, the other three named queen of horror, at the Atwater Playhouse. Is that what it's called?
Yep, on the 21st at 8 p.m.
Great. Do you plug stuff on social media?
I do, yeah. You can also check, I'll actually give real information at Hillary Ann Matthews on Great. Instagram.
Ronnie Adrian.
What's up, you freaks? You know, that's a little October speak. You know what I mean?
I forgot to talk about October.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, we might do some Halloween stuff. We didn't do anything.
We had some pumpkin cocktails.
Yeah, that's right.
Bones Adrian on like Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that. Also, I can't remember if it's me or Dan, but one of us has a movie coming out at the end of this month.
Yeah.
I think it's me. I'm not 100% sure. Paranormal Activity. I don't remember anything about being on set, so it's quite possible it's not me, but at the same time, if it is, like, check out my movie.
So
at the
you
end
gotta
of the month.
Watch Paranormal Activity Next of Kin on Paramount Plus to find out if it is featuring Ronnie Adrian or Dan Lippert as the character of Dale. Mm-hmm.
Email with the correct answer to get a free ticket to
email with the correct answer
for
you can be out here just
location.
Like us.
Come
you
meet
can
us
be
here.
In Hawaii just like us.
Yeah, check that out at Mad Dog Pod. You know how to get this stuff, but you're the Man Now Dog on Patreon, patreon.com/TheManNowDog, and biggrandewebsite.com for our podcasts, our animated stuff, our merch. It's all on there. We'll probably be throwing up some Christmas merch around Thanksgiving. So take
I'm
your
about
time
to say, man,
that.
No Thanksgiving merch, huh?
No, we're not thankful for much. But yeah, I think that's it. I want my baby back, baby. I think that's it. Yeah, thanks. Thanks again, y'all, for being here. So great to see you, and thanks, everyone, for listening. Casey Trela, thank you for the theme song. Annie Wu, thank you for the logo. Harry Chaskin, our original logo, and Brian Holmes for editing and production work. And we miss you, Ryan, wherever you are. Bye.
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 Riding out with my friends. My penis. My dick and balls.